Sister, if you're here, I know that you've been feeling the call to play so much bigger, not just in your business, but in your being. And you see, the reason why I know that is because we are stepping into a new paradigm for women entrepreneurs, one that is no longer asking us to hustle, grind, or dilute who we really are to be successful. One that remembers that your presence is the strategy. And so this is your official invitation to step into that paradigm at Brilliance, my free all-day virtual experience for visionary women ready to claim their seat at the seven-figure table. Now, this is not just another webinar. This is an all-day live summit, and it's a frequency shift. On Wednesday, August 13th, through a full day of intentional and activating programming, I'm going to guide you through the exact feminine blueprint I use to build my multi seven-figure brands without sacrificing my soul or my sanity. You'll get the real codes behind magnetic messaging, offer alignment, how to strategically and spiritually leverage AI, scaling with sovereignty, calibrating your nervous system as a visible, wealthy leader, and how to step into the radiant CEO you were born to be. Plus, I've got some of the most iconic women in the game who are joining me on stage. Kate Northrup, Sarah Jenks, Natalie McNeil, and some surprise guests to drop transformations and transmissions that are going to rock your freaking world. If you've been waiting for a sign to trust your voice, honor your own brilliance, and rise in your full freaking power, this is it. Join us for the Brilliance Summit and unlock your next chapter, your next level, and your next truth. Head to jessicazweig.com/brilliance, linked in the show notes, to save your free seat. This isn't about becoming more, sister. This is about being fully you, unapologetically, and most of all, brilliantly. I'll see you on August 13th. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Jessica Zweig, and man, am I excited to drop this today. Drop it like it's hot, because this is like one of the hottest, meaning most unapologetic, most fiery, passionate, bold, extraterrestrial conversation I got to have actually on someone else's show. So if you've been following this podcast for a minute, hello, so happy to have you back. If you're new, welcome here. You have arrived at the place where we talk about all things spirituality and business, all in service of the divine feminine rising in one conversation, one breath, one episode at a time. And if you have just jumped into this fun series that I launched this summer, where I am featuring podcasts that I got to go on during my book tour. So last summer, I launched The Lightwork, Reclaim Your Feminine Power, Live Your Cosmic Truth, and Illuminate the World, which was a USA Today bestselling book. And part of the fun of launching a book, to be honest, because not all of it's fun, you guys, much of it's a grind. But the best part is the podcast tour, where you just go on as many podcasts as humanly possible to spread the good message about your book and drop in with beautiful people and some of your favorite people that you might not have had a chance to talk to for a while. And one of those beautiful souls was the, I mean, I don't even know how to describe him. He's a light worker. He's a fucking change agent. He is here to heal humanity. His name is Dr. Will Cole. Maybe you've heard of him. I'm sure you have if you've been into wellness for the last couple of years. And he has this amazing podcast called The Art of Being Well. And, you know, Dr. Will Cole is a New York Times bestselling author, huge entrepreneur in the telehealth space, and, you know, besties with Gwyneth Paltrow, and is now being a change agent at the top institutions of our entire country, working to really transform the healthcare system. He's just a baller. He just is doing God's work. I tell him that all the time. And he invited me onto his podcast. I was so grateful to talk about the light work. And you know, I talk about my body, like the body in the book. It's chapter 3. It's one of my favorite chapters where I share my journey with orthorexia and autoimmune disorder and just having such an epic failure with Western medicine when it came to surrendering my sovereignty and thinking they had all the answers until I woke up and became my own healer and realized that my body wasn't just flesh, blood, and skin and fluids. It was a sacred technology. And that's really what that chapter was about. And I was so amped to talk to Dr. Will Cole about that because I actually reached out to him in the early days of my career. And he was kind of coming up to talk to him about my autoimmune disorder. And he was so helpful. And I read his books. Anyway, my point is, you guys, he got me on his podcast. He'd read my book. And all he wanted to do was talk about the Palladians. All he wanted to do was talk about the extraterrestrial warfare between light and dark on this planet and ask me my, you know, perspective on it. And he even said how excited he was to be able to bring that kind of content on his podcast, since it's something he obviously doesn't talk about very often, if at all. So it was such an honor to be on The Art of Being Well. It was such an honor to hang out with my dear friend Will. And it is a deep honor to share this podcast interview of me on his podcast with all of you. So without further ado, here is my actually truly like indescribable conversation with Dr. Will Cole. Enjoy.
Jessica, my friend, welcome to the podcast.
It's wonderful to be welcomed here. I'm so excited to talk to you all. Thanks for having me.
Feelings mutual. You're in Nashville these days. Like, how much do you love Tennessee? I love Nashville so much.
I feel like Nashville owes me money. I'm like a walking billboard for them. I tell everybody they should live here. My husband and I just moved here a few years ago. I was in Chicago for 20 years, big concrete jungle. Got out during the pandemic. We were looking at Austin and Florida and California. And we came here and we were like, why hasn't anybody been talking about the state of Tennessee? It is gorgeous. It is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It's so much green. I call it like Mother Gaia vortex. There's so much healing energy here, frankly. And Nashville as a scene is like such a vibe. There's so much creativity and music and entrepreneurship and tech and real estate. I mean, it's blowing up. And we are actually building a house on 5 acres of land, 20 minutes from the downtown area. So you can like get the best of both here. There's waterfalls, hiking trails, lakes. Like, again, Nashville owes me money. Like, I talk about it like it is the best place ever. Finding this part of the country was really truly a healing moment for me on many levels.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I feel like every time I talk about Nashville, I talk about Urban Market. Have you ever been to Urban Market in Fraxland?
A million
before?
Times. Yeah. It's the best.
So good. Shout out to Urban. What's your, and I've talked to all my friends in Tennessee. They're like, you need to have Urban Market be a sponsor because I talked about them so much. What's your Urban Market order? What do you get there?
I've had their burger. It's really good.
Burgers are amazing.
Red meat. I don't get the bun. Do it on a lettuce wrap. I really love their, I've gotten their salads. They've got an amazing breakfast. Like their egg frittatas and omelet. Yeah.
I was at breakfast with Jordan Rubin and Josh Axe the other day. And I tried their pancakes, which are like cassava flour pancakes or something like that. Yeah. And I had, they have it, I get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No matter what I'm there, I'll get their breakfast bowl with like scrambled eggs, avocado, butter oil, steak, onions, sweet potatoes. It's so good.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry. They make me hungry.
I love
that sounds delicious.
So you, speaking of, you know, you physically had the, you know, move, a physical external movement to Tennessee, but you also had an internal movement and, you know, evolution, if you will, that you talk about in this beautiful new book. But like, when did that go down? Like, when did this sort of transformation happen on a deep level?
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring up my move to Nashville, because as above, so below, I say, and as my world was shifting internally, it's when I started to shift my life externally and moved out of Chicago. I was there all of my life. You know, I'm a serial entrepreneur, been building businesses since I was 26. My last business was my agency, Simply Be Agency. Took off like a rocket ship. We can talk about that. And found myself in 22. So about 2 years after we met, I crashed from burnout and depression, from killing myself running that business and being a boss babe and getting hooked on the dopamine hit of success and hustle, which is what I really talk a lot about in my new book. And I love talking about it as much as possible, because especially with women, at least the women that I speak to, burnout is an epidemic. Like, we're all so tired and overworked and overgiving. And we've been somewhat programmed to think that that's normal, to work that hard and push our bodies at that rate. And so Chicago is my home city, like sweet home Chicago, but there was an intensity and a density, I say, to that market that my nervous system just couldn't handle. And it was actually, my husband and I were exploring Nashville before we bought to move for real. We rented, and I rented this house on 10 acres of land, like an Airbnb. And the master bedroom was on the ground, and I'd only slept in like 20, 30 floor condos and apartments for like 20 years. I lived in a concrete block with like people above me, people below me, people under me. And all of a sudden I was on 10 acres of land with no one around, fully grounded when I slept. And that's really when I unraveled, actually, because I could hear myself. I could hear my thoughts. The stimulation went down. And 22 was a real pivot point for me. And I did get diagnosed with situational depression. I really let myself go into it and do the work to heal it. And that year found me in Egypt at the end of that year, which is where my book starts. And that's when my whole kind of, I like to say I died in Egypt, like I had a full-on identity death. And I came back new and sold my business, moved cities, changed my life. There has been an evolution, and, you know, not that it's perfect, but I'm far more where I need to be than I've ever been in my life, and on a spiritual and physical and mental and emotional level. But that was really it. It was the peak of my success at Simply Be was like the darkest, hardest time of my life.
Wow. Let's unpack that. So you mentioned the depression. What did burnout look for you? For people that are like, yeah, I kind of, that word burnout resonates with them, but they'd never had the language to describe, you know, this is what they were going through. What were the other symptoms you were experiencing?
Yeah. Well, it's important to remember, you know, I was working like 100-hour week. My business exploded after my first book, B, came out.
Yeah.
We went from 9 people to 22 people in less than 11 months. And then I became 30 people. I mean, it was just this hockey stick. So I was the spokesperson, the podcast host, the speaker, the manager, the fire putter, outer, the team firer, the client developer. I mean, I was wearing all the hats as the CEO of the company. So I was exhausted. I was depleted. I was inflamed. My skin was breaking out. I would get a decent night's sleep and still wake up exhausted. I would cry all the time just for no reason. And, you know, I see a therapist who is amazing, and I was seeing her weekly, and the crying had gotten really bad. You know, I didn't have any motivation, Will. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to socialize. It took a lot of energy to shower. Like, it was a really dark, dark time. Mm-hmm. And my therapist recommended that I see a psychiatrist and go on medication. And I had never done an SSRI or a benzo in my life. And I was 42 and I was open to it because I felt like such shit. And I got a referral to a holistic psychiatrist. And we took 1 hour. I took a 1 hour call with Dr. Radin. And he was like, you don't need drugs. You need to heal your sleep. You need to heal your hormones. And I'm going to put you on a ketamine protocol, which is a psychedelic extravenous, at least it was for me, modality that I did three sessions, 2 weeks in a row. So six sessions back to back. And the way that my doctor, Dr. Radin, had explained depression to me, which was really fascinating, was that it's a physical symptom more than it is an emotional, mental. It's inflammation of the brain from the fatigue and from the cognitive depletion of like working and staring at screens and stress and anxiety and overwhelm and constant doing, that the left brain and the right brain of my hemispheres weren't neurologically talking to each other. And that's what, I mean, you would probably know a lot more about this than I do. I'm paraphrasing what my doctor told me 2 years ago, but it was miraculous. Like it healed my depression. I measured like a nerd. I was like scale of 1 to 10 every day before I went into my ketamine treatments. It's like 10 is super depressed. 1 is not depressed at all. And it really was an accumulative clearing session after session. So by session 6, I was at a 1. It was amazing. And that was the path that worked for me. I talk about that openly in my book. Prescription drugs help save a lot of people's lives, and you have to be sovereign and talk to your doctor. But that was really a huge gift to get that referral to that holistic psychiatrist.
Wow.
All right, sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you finally ready to sync your inner rhythm and system with the wisdom of the earth and the cosmos? I am so excited to introduce you to Microflow, the cleanest, most high vibrational magic mushroom microdosing supplements on the market. I have been taking them for the last 3 years, and they have completely altered my consciousness, shape-shifted my body, expanded me into infinite abundance, and healed my nervous system. They are 100% organically grown, third-party lab-tested, Reiki-infused, and intentionally formulated by renowned root cause health expert Christy Nault, making Microflow the only microdose supplement on the market that is cycle syncing and designed to support the female nervous system. The Exude and Surrender bundle is a beautiful entry point. Rotate them with your cycle or the moon like I do. This bundle includes Exude for heart-opening, radiant, expressive energy that I love to take during my follicular and ovulation phases, and Surrender for softening, deep nourishment, and inner reconnection during my luteal and menstrual phases. These blends help you drop out of your head and into your heart and truly embody your divine feminine essence. Now, if you're looking to go a little bit deeper into ceremony, healing, and 7D consciousness, the Theta blend made with sacred blue lotus is for you. Now, there's a bonus. When you get the Theta blend, you'll get access to Christy's full ceremonial recordings with your purchase. Microdosing is the future, you guys. It isn't about getting tripped out or bypassing yourself spiritually. It's about coming home to your body, to your soul, and to your truth. I cannot recommend Microflow enough. I have dabbled with other supplements throughout my life, and nothing has truly recalibrated my entire system with feminine ease the way that Microflow has. It has truly changed my life, and I want this for you. So go to microflowhealing.com and enter code Jessica10 to get $10 off your order. That's microflowhealing.com and enter Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
Thank you for sharing that and your path for that. And then at what point did the sort of trip to Egypt, and you mentioned the sort of identity death and maybe a deeper level or in the next level of your healing. When did that happen?
That's a really good way of putting it. It really was the next level. So I say that ketamine healed my depression for sure. Clearly, it did not heal my habits. I had built up this boat, you know, with my company. And I was, you know, like I said, I went from 9 people to 30 people. I had a very large W-2 payroll. I was the breadwinner. I was the rainmaker of the business. And so while my brain was cleared, my schedule looked the same. And really what unfortunately was the case, I think a lot of entrepreneurs will relate to this. When you're in a hyper growth stage and you have to hire up really fast, you hire some of the wrong people. And so about 6 months after ketamine, I had to do a complete reorg of my business. I had to let go of a lot of people, demote others, move the departments around. It was like the hardest day of my life as a CEO that day when I had to announce to my entire company that everyone was going to get a new boss tomorrow. And I had serendipitously planned a trip to Egypt like a year before, because I'm a big world traveler. You can't plan a 15-day trip, you know, a month out. You plan that shit like a year away. So in March, when I did the ketamine treatment, I was like depressed, burnt out depressed. By the end of that year, right before I got on that plane to Egypt, I was like ragefully burnt out. Mm. Like sadness had turned into anger. I just was ready to kind of burn my whole business down. I was really, really just over it. Mm-hmm. And yet I had built up this huge identity as this successful face of Simply Be. Everyone knew me as the bright yellow, like mm-hmm. CEO, boss babe kind of chick. And I hated that girl, even though I look back and I honor her. So I got on this plane to Egypt, and you know, I don't know how woo-woo I can get on your show, Will, but
yeah, well, I want to go as woo-woo as you can get. I want to talk about that because we're not afraid to go anywhere within mm-hmm. wellness and, you know, self, like whatever somebody's path to wellness is. And that's why I called the podcast The Art of Being Well, right? Because we look at the duality of what I do in functional medicine. There's the science and the art. So the art part and really realizing that it's really one and the same, like science ultimately is an art, and realizing this duality is really just one thing. But, and I love covering different facets and different walk of life within wellness and exploring topics that people maybe wouldn't hear on your run of the mill, like clinical podcast, wellness podcast. So I'm excited to go there. And we call it woo-woo, and maybe we can reclaim the woo-woo because people call us that as a pejorative, as a slur.
I agree.
Of us within wellness, but let's freaking reclaim it, because what they call woo-woo is such a dismissive thing to something that's so sacred, right?
I thank you for saying that. Like retweet, I say woo-woo to make people comfortable.
Yeah.
Really owning the fact that I'm a very conscious, awake, spiritually connected person. Like
right.
That's to me like how we make that space approachable.
Yeah. Right.
Woo-woo.
And how far have we fallen as a society that like anything that's not, you know, measurable or orthodox, like this is the orthodoxy, anything else is woo-woo. And again, I say it too as like jest of like, yes, I'm owning maybe the out of boxness of it all. But
yeah.
It's still like when it gets to like such a judgy place that I think people use as a slur against wellness as a whole, it's missing the mark, right?
Absolutely. I love that we stamped that. It's so important because in reality, it is the truth. You know, we are empowered, sovereign, limitless, vitally healthy, free, loving, connected humans. Mm-hmm. And whether it's your nutrition plan or your, you know, spiritual practice, I think it's all leading back to that understanding, right? Of just how sacred we are.
Right. And some things can't be measured. And also some things don't have to be for everybody. I like you even said, like your journey with ketamine doesn't mean everybody has to do it. This is your path, mm-hmm. your journey. And you could pick like amazing pearls of wisdom from somebody else's journey or just maybe self-compassion of someone that's different than you.
Yes.
Right. So let's go. I want to go jump into Palladian like teaching. So I love curveball. I want to know all about it because I don't understand it. I'm coming from a functional medicine, so I have a lot of curiosity about it. Teach me about this.
You just made my life. We're talking about Palladians and on the art of being well. Okay, let's go. So how do I say this? Okay, well, the Palladians, let me just define what they are if you've never even heard that word. The Palladians are an extraterrestrial star family from a star system called the Pleiades constellation, which is here in our Milky Way galaxy. And I'll drop a little science fact. This is not from me. This is from my research into NASA and Harvard have said, when we look up at the sky, imagine the Milky Way on full blast. You can see every single star in our Milky Way. It's billions and billions of stars. We're one of trillions, actually infinite galaxies in an ever expanding universe by the way. But let's just take our own galaxy. We look up at the stars. There's billions of sparkly stars in the sky. There are more planets in the universe than there are stars. So if we see billions of stars, we can see them. We can't see with our physical eye the planets that are rotating around them like they do in our sun star and our solar system with Venus and Mars and the Earth and Jupiter, et cetera. You can't see that from light years away, but you can see our sun star. So the fact is, well, maybe I wouldn't say it. It's my personal perspective based on my research and studies that it is scientifically impossible that we are the only life in the universe. And we are here on planet Earth, which is a dimension of reality, which is called the third dimension, 3D. And there are multiple dimensions beyond this planet that we can't necessarily see or feel or touch or hear, but exist. Mm-hmm. But because we're not in that dimension, we can't necessarily fully connect. I'll flash forward to 2018. I had a reader, one of my many readings with a healer. I've seen many of shamans and done all the things, but this included no plant medicine. This was completely sober and coherent. And she did a reading on me and she told me in that session that I was a Palladian. And I was like, oh, what the is that? You know, I had never heard of that term myself. And yet there was something about the way she reflected what happened in that session that just felt true in my body. And so what I did, Will, is I started to study them. I started reading their books. There's a woman, she's a total mentor to me, a total teacher. Her name is Barbara Marciniak. She's written multiple books. She kind of came about in the 90s. She's no longer really around. And she channeled the Palladians, similar to how Esther Hicks channels Abraham. It's like that kind of material. And I read these books 6-7 years ago, and it all made sense to me. Everything that I had believed to be true, everything I had struggled with throughout my life in relationship and loving my body and romantic partnerships with money, abundance, health, everything the Palladians said tracked. And it was a message of self-empowerment that we are here on planet Earth and we've kind of missed the memo that this human experience is meant to be joyful and we're meant to thrive and we're all connected and we're truly co-creators, thoughts create our reality. They really are the original, as I see it, teachers of light. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that I like hang out with the aliens. Like I'm not necessarily like an alien channeler myself. I really just understand their texts and their messages. And so what I attempted to do, and I think I did it pretty well in my new book, The Light Work, is take what is somewhat of a fringe esoteric kind of conversation mm-hmm. and make it applicable to the everyday person, mm-hmm. everyday woman specifically, and how we can take this Palladian know-how and apply it to our lives that is far more self-empowering than the world around us believes and programs us to feel. Mm-hmm. And so I hope I did a decent job of explaining.
You did a great job.
They are.
I okay. love it. I know. I love that. And I'm excited to pick your brain about this because it is fascinating to me. And even if you look at, I mean, current affairs of United States government and the Congress is talking about UFOs. Congress yeah. is talking about things that are redacted and classified are now becoming unclassified and they're still pushing back against the full unclassified aspect of this. What do you think of that? I mean, obviously this isn't just some woo-woo again, fringe thing of this. It's the United States government is now acknowledging there's something there. They're not really fully divulging what it is yet.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot that they keep from us. I think there's a lot of information in, you know, the intelligence departments yeah. in our government that I think I have a few theories on it. I think that humanity isn't really ready for it. I think that, you know, look at how divisive we are with one another.
Right. Let alone some other race of people.
Like true,
right.
like a true foreigner. Like we right. we disrespect and hate on people because they have a different religion or skin color than
yeah,
us.
Yeah, right.
You know,
or political leaning.
Or political belief.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, I think so much is being exposed right now of the light and the dark, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that there is going to come a time, you know, we're playing an eternal game. Like we are living in an infinite timeline mm-hmm. and we are here for a microcosm of time in these human bodies, 80, 90 years, if we're lucky, as I like to say. And I don't think it'll be in our generation, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be in a few generations more where not only based on what the U.S. or the governments choose to reveal or whatnot, or what just going to come down here and happen anyway, But I think that humanity is waking up. I think that there is a reason why, and it's an exciting time to be alive, that conscious conversations like this and functional medicine and spirituality and meditation and yoga and indigenous plant medicine, like it's all coming up into the mainstream because people are clear that there's an illusion going on here and that we're being a little controlled. This is my, you know, firm belief, especially around health. Don't let me go off on like the food and pharma industry. Like when humans are sick and weak, we can be controlled. And not all, you know, extraterrestrial, in my perspective, are all light. Like there is dark and light, as above, so below. But I think that there is going to come a time where this isn't going to be some quote unquote woo-woo conversation someone hears on a podcast. But in humanity's evolution, we're going to realize that we're not the only ones here. And what that will look like and what we'll do with that information, I don't know. I hope people take it as, you know, exciting and a way to expand their consciousness and connection to their own identities, as I have done with my true family, which is the Palladians. But I think it's an exciting time to be alive, nonetheless, as dark as it is.
Yeah, it's true. So do you feel like, obviously, we don't know for sure, but do you feel like the UFOs that they do have on video and you're seeing them, they seem to like large bodies of water. They seem to like go down in the water. Like, we don't know why, but they seem like hundreds and thousands of people are seeing the same thing. Are those Palladians? Do they behave like that? Or is this a different, like you said, there's so much going on we don't understand.
I can't, a couple thoughts there. It's fascinating when thousands of people see it and then like the media squashes it, you know, it'll go like viral on social, but like the mainstream media will never cover something like that. There's a reason for that.
Pilots see these like crafts and creatures.
The United States Army, like there's records and videos, I mean, everywhere out there. Mm-hmm. So to kind of take it out and then I'll take it back in. The Palladians are one of many star systems. You know, there's the Sirians, there's the Andromedans, there's the Arcturians, there's the Orions. I've only really studied the Palladians, but it's really based upon our Milky Way galaxy that I've studied these systems. And you'll meet another woman, maybe like Jessica Zweig, and they're like, "Oh, you're a Palladian? I'm Arcturian." And then we can like have a chat. It's a thing. But I believe, Will, to your question, there are portals and places on this planet that have openings that are stargates and portals, Egypt being one of them, Mount Shasta being another one, Peru, Bali, you know, Arizona in the United States. Like there are places people go to connect, not necessarily with like aliens, but like higher consciousness.
Yeah.
And potentially, yes, have those sightings. For me in Egypt, the Palladians came down and channeled straight into my auric field and gave me a complete DNA upgrade and gave me messages that changed the course of my whole entire life. And I write about that in my book.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, these things sound crazy, but they do happen.
Yeah. I love this. You're blowing people's minds right now. I love going there. So you mentioned like the light and the dark, there's different beings. And like, obviously you're in the Bible Belt in Nashville. And I'm thinking of sort of the overlap between languages and terms, and like we think of like angels and demons, like, and these sort of extraterrestrial beings that maybe people would have described as sort of these ethereal beings. What's the connection there? Do you feel like they're really one and the same, just different ways of describing the same thing?
So no, I think there is polarity. I think, you know, on Earth, if you will, we in this 3D dimension, there is two polarities. There's love and there's fear. That's it. And there's different expressions of love and manifestations of love, compassion, abundance, community, oneness, kindness, you know, all of those qualities. And then fear manifests itself as imposter syndrome, survival, scarcity, competition, comparisonitis. Like there's those lower vibrational feelings, right? And then you look at like what's happening in the Middle East or what's happening in our politics. Like I've said this a few times, the micro expresses and reflects the macro and as above, so below. I mean, I'm really excited we're talking about this because I don't typically share this stuff.
I love it, but I'm
here for it.
So sorry to interrupt, when someone says angels and talks about angels and like that as a spiritual concept, do you think that that could be the Palladians one and the same? Does people have different, you know, whatever. There's just different ways of describing the same thing. Or are they separate? Are they different in your opinion?
I think they're, frankly, I think they're separate.
Okay.
But I think they come from the same consciousness.
Got it.
Similar vibrations, similar stages of consciousness. So the highest frequency of all consciousness is enlightenment, right? Right below that is peace. Below that is love. Below that is joy. And then you go down that spectrum into, you know, neutrality, apathy, guilt, fear, shame. The shame is the lowest vibration of them all. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's all sorts of gods, deities, angels that are here to express in some shape or form love, right? Empowerment. And then there is a dark side. You know, there's a whole frequency of low vibration that is really driven by fear. And again, really ultimately control.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listen to a lot of Greg Braden, Billy Carson. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
I know Billy Carson. Yeah.
He's my fave. He's my homie. And so you can go dial into his content. But
yeah, he has some wild stuff too on this vein for people that want to learn more. Yeah.
And everything he says, I'm like, true. Very true. Like, you know, I mean, we've been around for hundreds of thousands of years as a human species. And if you can picture that very famous image of the ape to human evolution, where there's like the little monkey that gets a little taller, that gets a little taller. We all know that image of that succession of how the human evolved from chimpanzees. If you look at the second to last, the final two iterations in that image, there is a switch. There's really no explanation other than us potentially being modified to go from small-brained, hairy-backed, crouched over to straight up bald, big brained human. And, you know, there's a lot of people maybe out there listening to your show that are, you know, tied to their religious beliefs and respect everyone's, you know, experience. But when I saw that, it was actually a talk I saw by Dr. Nassim Haramim. I don't know if you know Nassim.
I don't.
He's phenomenal too. You know, that's really what unlocked, oh, wait a second. There's something else happened on this planet hundreds of thousands of years ago, because this planet is a hotspot. There's so much life here. There's so much possibility here. And there's been a fight since the beginning of humanity for this planet between light and dark. And we've gone through some dark ages and, you know, the patriarchy and whatnot. And now we're here, I think, like I said earlier, really waking up to, again, not just what's happened out in the skies, but what's happening within us, that we are truly, truly powerful, that we are sovereign and free and vitally healthy and meant to be in oneness with one another. I just feel like that's the kind of Cliff's Notes, if you will, of my perspective. And it's how I make sense of it all.
I love it. So this was like an aha moment for you to like connect the dots of things that you were feeling on like a deep resonance side of things. And even if you look at any spiritual tradition, it really is kind of showing the same thing, the sort of war, if you will, between good and darkness. And how do we kind of reclaim those sparks of light to live, you know, a more Christ-like life or whatever it is, whatever language you're using. But so is that what that is for you? And this sort of, what was it, I guess, about the Palladian side of things that resonated with you differently than maybe other, you know, origin stories.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, I was talking about this in my book. I was born and raised Jewish. I had, you know, I was bat mitzvah, went through the whole thing. And I was like, I love my faith, but I was never really that religious. At 19 years old, I went to Ireland, stepped into a church for the first time in my life. I'd only been in synagogues. And I had a full-on visitation from my grandmother who had just passed, like an angelic visitation, which completely discombobulated my entire belief on what I could believe, right? Like, why am I a Jew having the most holy experience in a church at 19 years old? Like, it didn't make sense. That set me on this deep path to really understand my relationship to the divine, because I feel like it is the most personal relationship one can have. Not a rabbi or a priest or a book can tell you what that is. Only you can tell you what that is. And so once I came across the Palladians, it really was their message of self-sovereignty, and that our thoughts create our reality, and that we are truly in charge of our joy, our pain, and that we're really here to experience bliss and empowerment, and that we're here on an assignment to shift the planet as a collective back into more light consciousness and love. And like, you know, you can kind of take a personality test. Like when you read your Enneagram, it's like, oh yeah, that's me. If you look at the qualities of a Pleiadian, it's me. Like they're typically leaders. They have a lot of fire. They want to change the world. They have big missions. You know, they really believe in the collective good. And so to me, the Pleiadians are the original teachers of light on this planet. And
Have you heard of the Anunnakis? Is that the same thing? Is that the same thing as Pleiadians? They're a different race of people.
They're different. Anunnakis are, they're a different species. They've come down here. They were part of the original design of the human species. And there's different takes on them that they're either good or bad.
Yeah. Well, there's thought you mentioned like the ape. There's pictures of like the ape, like them transforming the ape into man, these Anunnaki. I mean, this is ancient Babylon, ancient Egypt. Yes. These ancient, oftentimes Middle Eastern cultures, like the Fertile Crescent, if you will, there's a lot of these origin stories. It's fascinating.
Yes. I mean, it's maybe to the person listening, this sounds, you know, out there, but it's really like back there. Like that's where
this is not,
really
we can say this is new age. No, this is like ancient beliefs that we're just kind of discovering these books or hearing these stories that our ancestors would have told.
Yes, yes. You know, back to the Pleiadians, one of the things that I took away from their books, and I highly recommend like Bringers of the Dawn, Earth, Path to Empowerment, Family of Light. These are all books by Barbara Marciniak that feel really like, they're like codes, you know, they're like encoded with truth. And for, at least for me, when I read them, it unlocked that truth within myself. I say in my book, like it was everything I had always felt in my cells, but could never articulate with words. And one of the things the books introduces this concept of prime creator, which is really the all one, like the God of all gods. Like it's not even God. It's like the creation of all things. It's one consciousness that creates and allows it to, one, to create upon itself, and it's all connected.
Yeah. So but would it be equivalent to like the Hebrew concept of Ein Sof, like the endless light, like?
Yeah. Or the Shekinah.
Yeah. Shekinah. Because, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the primordial aspect of God, the Keter, the crown.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then you kind of look at like gods that we make up here on planet Earth, like the way that Pleiadians describe there's prime creator, and then there are gods with a little g. Mm. And we have made those gods with the little g the almighty truth, which has caused so much division.
Yeah.
Right? So, like true genocide and beyond. And when you kind of zoom up and look at it from a cosmic perspective, you see it's somewhat of a game for control again and power. And, you know, it's not even about money, it's about control. Mm-hmm. And when I read these books, I was like, this is, we're just here, we're asleep here. Mm-hmm. And we are all part of a much bigger eternal story. Mm-hmm. And we're here, I don't think by accident at this time. I don't think we're ever put here by accident. I think we all have a unique assignment.
Yeah.
I mean, look at you, you know, you're living out your assignment. It's true.
And when, like, if you take it to like people, maybe the language that people know of, like what the Bible says, the fruit of the spirit, like to me, you look at that, what's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. I missed one. Like to me, like that is, if something's bringing someone to that, you know, there's just think about that. And I think a lot of the world, like you mentioned, whether it's religion or gods of making materialism your god or political tribalism your god, there's so much divisiveness. There's the opposite of all those fruits of the spirits that I said, that I just mentioned, right?
Yes. And I think that's, you know, there's real beauty in religion. There's beauty. I mean, if you kind of look at them all, like the root of the root of the root, it's they're all at their highest vibration or it's love.
Right.
Like love is, if I'm going to say I have a religion, it's love. Like love is my religion. Mm-hmm. And there are these common threads throughout all, you know, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, like their root is love. And we as human beings have made it messy and have made it, you know, co-opted it.
Well, like you said, for control, so much of it. You just look at the history of the church and the history of religion as a whole. It is largely about control. And then you look at the, I mean, sorry, we're devolving into this, but it's so fascinating to me when you hear time after time, sort of the dark sides, a lot of these orthodoxies, the people that are in charge don't even believe the stories they're telling people. They're full on atheists. They don't even believe in what they're saying, but they're using it as control. I know I'm making blanket statements there, but there's lots of examples of that where it's like, it's really just a means of control for people.
Yes, I feel very strongly about that. And that's really prevalent in our country. That's another conversation.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right. And as I talk oftentimes where it's like historically the church, and by that, I mean like the church of throughout history used to, you know, really burn people at the stake for religion. Yes. They used to throw people in prison. They used to kill, yes. I mean, Protestants killed Catholics and Catholics killed Protestants of the same faith, let alone different types of faith. But today I see this sort of secular religious orthodoxy, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this, it's not religion. It's this orthodoxy of state science. And they're the people that use pejoratives like woo-woo and misinformation and disinformation and malinformation. It's the same thing that the church did, only it's sort of the secular state religion that still has this zealotry that I think if you know history, it's really the same energy, isn't it?
Yes. You want to know what I call all of that?
What?
The Matrix.
Yeah.
That's the Matrix. It's comprised of big religion, big government, corporate capitalism, mass media, big pharma, big food, and social media.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these, pick your poison, mm-hmm. but are forces that want us to not wake up, that mm-hmm. that it profit quite literally from our ignorance and our sickness and our divisiveness.
Yeah, you're definitely seeing that played out right now.
Yeah.
You mentioned that deeper level of healing and shifting those habits, how ketamine really was a tool for the depression, and then this sort of spiritual shift was a shift for the habits. How did that translate to your health as you sort of had these epiphanies?
Well, I actually lost a little weight. Not that it's about weight, but like my body changed. Speaking of nature, I used to be like a workout Soul Cycle, Barry's Boot Camp, marathon running kind of core power hot yoga chick. And I just slowed everything down when I got back. I really rooted into what I call Gaia, like Mother Earth. What you were mentioning about your plants and your space is so true. There's nothing as harmonic and healing and free as nature. Mm-hmm. So walking became my biggest. It is, I try to get today 10,000 steps a day, low impact Pilates. I was actually plant-based most of my life. And one day I was like, I think I want a bite of your taco, to my brother who was eating a steak taco at dinner. And I'm like, I just think I need a bite of that. Put protein. I mean, now I eat meat all the time. Everything just became more online and I became more in tune and intuitive with how my body wanted me to treat it and to create what I call a right relationship with it and learn how to listen to it. You know, I track my cycle. I love that we get the bonus rhythm of the infradian rhythm as women and to design our lives according to our moon cycles. I feel the most feminine when I'm bleeding. Like I didn't feel that way, you know, it was a nuisance. So like a lot of things have changed and I feel more connected to Gaia, like the feminine mother. And my body has definitely shifted and it's way more vital and optimized than it's ever been.
Wow. Amazing. I could pick your brain. So I'm fascinated about it.
Me too.
You didn't think I was going to ask you these questions.
No, dude. Well, this is my favorite podcast I've ever had. And I've been on 100 with this book. I'm so happy and grateful you asked me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I mean, you know what? Because I knew I could have this conversation because I knew what journey you've been on. And I never had the opportunity to go there. So thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you for the blessing and gift it is to be on this podcast in the beginning and to have this conversation. Like my day is made. Hey. I adore you. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness. Before you go, as you know, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well. At the end of the episodes, we have Your Art of Being Well, which we've learned so much about it today. But I'm going to pick your brain a few different things. First question that I want to ask is, what's the worst tasting healthy food that you eat? It tastes disgusting. But it loves you back. There's some nutritional, you know, benefit that you've noticed.
Well, I think they're healthy and they're not. I buy them anyway. I buy these like protein paleo bagels.
Okay. Sounds yummy.
And I mean, they're good. They're not, but they're not. Yeah. Like they have a weird aftertaste.
Oh, okay. So you're doing it just like as a bagel substitute in your life?
Well, I like to eat eggs in the morning. I need a protein, something. And I like a bit of carb. And I, instead of like my gluten-free waffles or my Ezekiel toast, like I'll have these bagels because they have 10, 15 grams of protein in the bagel. So I'm like the eggs plus the bagel. I'm like packing it in first thing in the morning. And yet they're, I'd rather have like the waffles. Like syrup.
I love it. But the next question, do you take supplements? And if so, what's your two go-to supplements?
Okay. Yeah. I do take quite a bit of supplements. I love Heart and Soil. I use, I just started the HERS package that like helps regulate because I'm 43 and like perimenopause is real. So I'm playing with those. I also take like the regular beef organs. Cordyceps is really awesome. It's a mushroom adaptogen for energy. And I'm really into like holistic or like the whole vitamin C from Paleo Valley.
Yeah.
And I love the brand Smidge, and they make an oyster zinc that isn't synthetic. So those are like my go-tos.
Really good. Really thoughtful ones. Next question. You mentioned the Enneagram earlier. Do you know your Enneagram?
Of course I do. What do you think I am?
don't tell me. I don't know. I'm not the best at typing people. Maybe a 3?
No, I'll take that. No, I'm a 7.
Interesting.
I'm an enthusiast. I'm bringing the party. I'm the enthusiast. What are you?
I'm a 5.
Okay, of course you are.
Yeah, 5 wing 4. 5 wing 4. My friend Josh Axe is a 7. I believe my brother's a 7 too. There's lots of 7s in my life. Emily, one of my patient team, she's a 7 too. Oh no,
really?
She's an 8. She's an 8 wing 7. That's what it is.
Yeah, I attract a lot of 7s.
Yeah. Do you? What's your husband? What Enneagram is your husband?
My husband is a 2.
Okay. It's a good husband.
Good husband.
A lot of strengths. A husband that's a 2.
he's a helper. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful Achilles heel.
The guys that I know that are 2s that are in a married or committed relationship, they're like some of the best husbands. I mean, because they're just...
No, I... Yeah. In the game of life, you know, when we all get dealt our cards, I hit the jackpot with my husband. Not everything's worked out for me in my life perfectly. Not that he's perfect, but I got so lucky with him. He's amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. What is a place you mentioned being a world traveler? What's your place that you haven't been to, but that's on your bucket list?
Oh my God, it's so good. I mean, obviously with everything that's going on in the Middle East, I wouldn't necessarily want to go now, but I've always wanted to go to Turkey. Istanbul is a bucket list. Believe it or not, I've never been to Amsterdam, Philippines, Vietnam. Like I could go off. I've been like 30, but I want to go to like 30 more.
I love it. Great. What's a book that you've read? It could be fiction or nonfiction. You mentioned so many good books today in today's conversation. But what's a book that comes to mind that was just a pivotal game changer for you that we could add to our running book club list for The Art of Being Well?
Gosh, a pivotal book. Really what comes to mind, frankly, years and years ago, I read Danielle Laporte's The Desire Map. That was a really empowering invitation into like the spiritual space, you know, female entrepreneurs in general. But my favorite fiction book, because I'm a big fiction like nerd, I actually like to read fiction more, read it years ago, The Kite Runner. It's amazing. My mom was a school teacher and got her master's in reading, and fiction was her life. So once in a while, my mom's like, this one, because she reads like hundreds of books a month, like no joke. And she recommended that book to me, and it was profound.
Love it. Do you have any like non-food, non-supplement, like wellness tools, like biohacks? Do you do any of that?
I live on my PEMF mat, higher dose. I also use the red light mask. I shoot up quite a few peptides, and you know, I work with Joy Women's Wellness. They're one of my partners, and I do NAD. I do some memorylin, epimorylin. I can never pronounce it for like muscle tone and collagen. I do like a B12 shot, glutathione. They have a bunch of stuff that helps digestion. So I'm like really into all of the peptides.
You are. You really are.
Yeah.
Do you do BPC 157 or?
They don't carry it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, BPC 15. I was on it for like 2 years. Okay, thanks, Will. Talk after the show.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, Fred. Where do people go? Where do people go to learn about all the things, get this book?
So the book is called The Light Work, Reclaim Your Feminine Power, Live Your Cosmic Truth, and Illuminate the World. And you can buy wherever books are sold. Amazon. You can go to thelightworkbook.com to kind of pick your path at Barnes & Noble, indie shops. Find me on Instagram. I'm always there. I love that channel. I'm at Jessica Zweig. You can go to jessicazweig.com. That's where all of my, I have a business school for conscious female entrepreneurship. I do coaching, mastermind, and hosting retreats, a business branding meets spiritual retreat. It's going to be epic. And just, yeah, come say hi. I would love to be in touch with the Art of Being Well podcast listeners.
Thanks so much for coming on, my friend.
I love you. Thank you for having me.